You're listening to Inland Journal. 2 weeks ago, I was out covering the beginning of Spokane's annual point-in-time count of the homeless population. I went to the Truth Ministries facility in East Spokane. It's a place where men can congregate at night, have a meal, conk out on a bunk bed, then get up early and head out to start another day.
We're not really a homeless shelter. We want to get out there that we're not enabling these guys by just giving them a bed. And we are actually helping them to get back on their feet.
That's Chris Turner, who's the lead volunteer on the front desk. Turner bounced back and forth between this place and the Union Gospel Mission after he was released from jail a few years ago. He went through the mission's life recovery program, but eventually found his way back here.
Was living with roommates that were not going the same direction as me, I guess, and I needed to get away, so I came back here because I remembered, and I just, Marty asked me to volunteer, and one thing turned into another, and now it's about 2 years later now, and I'm doing a lot now, so learning how to write grants, and pretty much running this place now with the help of Marty.
On this night, there are about two or three dozen guys here. One or two are reading in their bunks. Others are sitting around tables talking.
We have a lot of guys at work. We have a lot of guys that are on SSI or SSDI, and they are awaiting housing, things like that. So we do charge $2 a night to stay here. If you have an income, there's a sliding scale of up to $5 a night. So if with no income, it's $2 a night. There's definitely rules of staying here. We do not UA.
That's urinalysis.
Or drug tests. But if you are under the influence and it's obvious, if you're a guest here and you come in drunk or high or something like that, we will try to get you to bed. If you start causing problems, you will have to go somewhere else.
So do you have a lot of regulars here?
We do have a lot of regulars, and that's basically how this place is run. You have to stay here every night. If you do leave for whatever reason, you have to wait a week to check back in. So we encourage the consecutive stay, so we don't do the ins and outs. We keep a database of everybody that's been here, so we have notes on their history. So if a guy's caused problems in the past, we have it on a note. So we really screen who comes in here now. But if a new guy's never been here, we start a file for him, takes their picture, and we just keep notes on him.
Firearms are not allowed here. If someone brings one, it's locked up. The men have their backpacks and other belongings stashed away, too. They can only bring in toiletries and pajamas. And at 7 the next morning, there's a wake-up call, and off they go by 8.
It's not stressful. It's safe. It's a family atmosphere. We call it a brotherhood.
Turner enjoys working here and finds it to be a calling of sorts.
It's just when you help somebody and you're in that process of helping them change their life and you see that happening, it's just, I can't describe the feeling you get, but I found out that I have a heart for that, so.
A few minutes ago, Turner referred to Marty. That's Marty McKinney. He and his wife, Julie, founded the place. They own it and run it. They oversee a small staff and group of volunteers who provide basic services to their clients. McKinney takes me back into his office. It's a cozy little room with electric guitars hanging from the walls.
If we need to talk to somebody, you know, maybe a guy loses a family member, he's hurt, and I just, God, you okay, buddy, you want to talk? Or maybe I need to tune somebody up. You do that again, and it's cold outside, and I don't care. You ain't doing it again. Understand? Man to man. You know, but I always have a witness, so they can't say I beat him up in here. It's a room to meet with people. But as far as the stuff, there's kind of some remnants around here because I've been a musician all my life. And I had a little recording studio in here. It was a place that I would come and record, write and record music. I still play. I play at the Knitting Factory quite a bit, you know. So it was a recording studio, but this is not the place for it.
Julie McKinney joins us. We talk about Truth Ministry's place in Spokane's community of shelters and warming centers. We talk about the recent protest outside City Hall by homeless people who shared their concerns about shelters like Truth Ministries and the Union Gospel Mission. We start by asking Marty McKinney to tell us about his organization.
Between 8 p.m. and 8 a.m. during the warm months, we're pretty structured. So we want the people that come to stay with us, everybody's invited, but they need to make some decisions to become unhomeless, whatever it takes, whether it's getting a job, going to school, pursuing SSI, or maybe they've got some health issues they got to take care of, and maybe there's mental health issues. We have caseworkers that come in on every single one of those issues to help us handle whatever those issues are. The ones that are not ready to quit whatever a substance abuse may be, that's what it boils down to, the people that get kicked out of here, because their behavior won't be good because of some of their issues. But we've always taken people back to come back and own their stuff and said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have acted like that, forgive me. All right, come on in and we'll do it again. Try it again, don't do it again. And usually, 9 times out of 10, they don't do it again. You know, and those are usually pretty tough things that they get kicked out for. It's not little stuff. During the warm months, we concentrate on those groups of people. During the winter months, we explain to those people that are being instructor and stuff, they like the peaceful house and everything else. Well, guess what? Now, guys, get ready, because this winter time, we're going to relax the rules a little bit, and we're going to let the people come in that have been kicked out of here. And we've always done that. We've been here for 16 years, and we've always done it. We've had 85 people in here in one night. And there's really not anybody that has ever been kicked out of here, except for maybe two, that I would have to figure out how are we going to deal with this person, because it's below zero, and this person was very violent or something, you know. But we'll figure out how to deal with it. We don't turn people away. And that's one of the terrible things that kind of was insinuated by the protests, you know. It was kind of insinuated that we were too religious and we didn't have enough beds. Through that whole protest, we had 15 beds. Mm-hmm. And nobody on the couches, or we didn't have to bust out any rollaways. Last year, all winter long, every couch was full, and we had 3 or 4 rollaways that were usually full. And we're always full in here, and we got 54 beds in here. And that was like that for 15 years. So this year, it's different. Why? There's a lot of things to it that none of us know. Because it seems to happen about every 3-4 years. And there's a couple individuals that are always involved in the protests every 3-4 years. And it's always the same thing. The city doesn't give enough. The city doesn't do enough.
What do you think about that?
I think it's untrue. I think the city does a lot. I think now that there seems to be more issues at the moment for this group of people that maybe they're not ready to commit to changing things or whatever, so they can't stay in the structured environments. They're kicked out of them, right? So I get it. There needs to be some place for them to be, you know. So I think that there's some conversations that need to take place between us and UGM and House of Charity and the city and different people, and everybody put their hearts and their minds together and say, well, can we come up with a plan for next year that's going to be safe for the people that are running it? Because we see the problems with that too. I think it's way bigger than any of us really have an answer for. I'm very familiar with the clientele. That's the first 3 years that we were open. That's all I dealt with, was the hardest of the hard. But now we're really a transitional place that we want them to transition on and be unhomeless. And it works. It's been working. Our neighborhood's clean. I think our neighbors are all happy with us. We're blessed.
I ask McKinney where Truth Ministries fits among the city's shelters. There's the Union Gospel Mission, with its insistence that its clients stay sober while staying there. That's on one end. And the House of Charity, which will care for anyone, on the other.
Kind of in the middle.
He explains that he doesn't know the folks running the House of Charity now, but he's friends with Phil and Randy Altmeyer and their family members and associates who run Union Gospel Mission.
The Altmeyers are my friends, my elders, my brothers, and they've helped us out over the years big time. The mission, say a man comes in, he's homeless, so he stays there and he's got a certain amount of time to decide to go through their program, or if you don't want to go through the program, then they have to choose to do something else. And some people that are homeless are ready to work right now. They don't want to go through a program. Maybe they're raised differently. They don't believe some of the things or whatever. House of Charity, they take care of the addicted and everything. They do a hard work. They deal with the people that aren't ready to quit, the people that are very hard to deal with when you get a bunch of them together. And we are kind of in the middle, where we believe instruction, that people got to be responsible for their lives, but we also believe that the mission's already doing that, and they're doing very well with it. And that's just not me. We are here for people that maybe aren't ready for that kind of a program. Like I said, maybe they were raised differently in their beliefs or whatever. But they're ready to work at whatever it is to become unhomeless, whether it's work, school, or SSI, or whatever it is. We're in the middle. They don't have to go through a program here. They don't have to do any religious activities here. Those guys have fallen between the cracks, and they don't want to be around chaos. They want a peaceful house when they get off work, where they can come in, get something to eat, take a shower, go to bed, get a wake-up call, and get a cup of coffee and go to work and do it again.
McKinney says many of the men who live at Truth Ministries are employed, but for some reason aren't ready to live on their own. Others use this as a stepping stone.
We got one kid I'm really proud of, because when he first started coming, I thought, he's not going to last, but he has. And what he did on his own is, as he was staying with us, he put himself through college. He got the grant, whatever he needed to do. Went to college to learn how to weld. And then he went and applied at one of the big places, and he's an apprentice now as a welder. So in a year after his apprenticeship, he'll make good money. And he'll be on his feet, and he'll be on his own. He's done great with his life. I mean, that's just one story. You know, they're all different stories, and it takes a process of time for each and every individual. It's all different for them.
Julie McKinney has been sitting and listening, and I turn to her and ask her why she's involved with Truth Ministries.
Service is my life. It helps me with all of my problems. I've suffered with depression. I've suffered with all kinds of things, and it makes every one of those things go away. When you serve others, your problems are small in comparison. So I love to serve others. These guys have become a family to us. So there are a few of them that are people that I know don't function well any other place. They've tried. They've gotten other apartments, and maybe they've been drug infested or not good neighborhoods. And we just want to, provide that safe place for them here. So that is our vision. We've always had that vision since 2003 to have some housing for them up above or wherever. I don't know if it's another building or like I've always thought it's up above building, like the Hope House.
Do you have a second floor now?
We don't, but when we moved in here, Al French, he was our architect back then when we moved in 2005, and I had a dream one night. I had a dream of apartments up above, and I said, Al, is it possible for us to build up? And he didn't say anything. He came back the next day, and he goes, Julie, I checked into it. It's possible, and walked out. So I know it's possible.
Right now, we're seeking an architect, and so we got our fishing pole in the water to see what's going to come up there, and then come up with some plans and say, okay, which one's going to work for us? We've got to find out what the city will allow here. And then we've got some other people with us on our board and some other people that serve here and help us that we get minds together and say, okay, how do we present this to people that want to give to this sort of thing? Are there agencies that are already working with low-income housing that need more space that could help us get it done? And then we work out the details, you know. I mean, it's possible. It's not only possible, it's going to happen.
In a way, the McKinneys are in a similar place as they were when they moved to this building in the 1900 block of East Sprague. Back then, it was a place with no occupant.
We were getting kicked out of a place, and we seen this building. And I called the fire marshal about the address. And I said, and he knew who I was. And I said, what's it going to take for us to open up a homeless shelter down there? It was 13 years ago. And he said, you'll never be able to do it, Marty. There's no way. You guys don't. I said, would you please just tell me what I need to do, not what I can't do? And he said, okay, you need a sprinkler system. You need an alarm system. That was early spring. Christmas Eve, we moved in. All the sprinkler fitters around here, the unions and everything else, they got together, they put the sprinkler system in, all the fire alarm people. They did the sprinkler system in one day. I watched them do it. And God bless them. They did a lot of work in one day.
McKinney says Truth Ministries has come a long ways since those days. Back out in the main room, Chris Turner says the organization is in the middle of a transition.
The first 12 or so years of Truth Ministries was going, it was a homeless shelter. The last couple of years, we've really been focusing on helping these men transition back into the community, get them jobs, get them housing, whatever it may be.
If all goes according to plan, that transition will include low-income housing in a city that desperately needs more of it.